All righty, let's go ahead and let's pray. Dear God, just thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can worship you here in our church, God. And I just pray that you will open our hearts, open our minds, and just open our eyes to you, God. Help us to grow closer to you, to know you more, to love you more, and just help us to, you know, get closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I just, before I begin, I just want to say a big thank you to all you guys for letting me preach on these last couple Sundays. I've had a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing it, and it's been a great practice for me, and you guys have just been really kind and encouraging, and I just feel really blessed to be working in my home church. You know, I can't believe it. Some days I wake up and I come here, and I just can't believe that I'm working here. So just thank you guys for letting me preach So I just feel really, really blessed. And as I was preparing for this message, I had a couple ideas. My original topic, I was going to do a different topic, and then I prayed about it, and I prayed some more, and I think God is leading me to talk about prayer. So again, I apologize if I stumble or look at my notes a lot this time. I know I typically look at my notes probably too much, but I really feel that God is leading me to talk about prayer today. So that's what we are going to do. And I just got to say that we are a praying church. And you guys do a really great job praying for each other, praying for others. We have a prayer email, and it's just really, really awesome that we are a good praying church. And I'll never forget that when I first started here, we would have a staff meeting. It was me, George, and Summer. And at the end of staff meeting, what we would always do is we would pray. And I got to tell you, listening to George's and the Summer's, listening to them pray was awesome. Like I don't know what it is. It sounds kind of weird, but they were just like really good at praying. Like they would just really like brag about God and talk about his love and his care. And they would kind of quote scripture back to God. And the way they would pray for others in a really deep way, and they really cared for others. And you guys have heard George pray at church or before Sunday service, and you know he just does a really awesome, great job. And then, but anyways, during staff meeting, you know, we'd all pray, and then it would be my turn to pray, and you know, I would have no idea what to say, and I'd be just like, "Dear God, thank you for this day. Help us grow closer to you. Amen." And you know, just be like really, really simple, and you know, just like help this person, amen. And so it'd just be like just really, really simple. And then after staff meeting, I'm thinking, oh man, what did I do? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I said, and I just get like so insecure. But I think when it comes to prayer, I think kind of the main point is that that we're real and that we're authentic. I think God just wants us to be real and authentic and true, and wants it to come from your hearts, and just be yourself. And God knows your heart, so He knows what you mean. And and I just gotta say that before Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked them, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's kind of very interesting that the disciples asked him, you know, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because remember, the disciples, you know, they went to synagogue, they went to school, they would have memorized large portions of scripture. So they, you know, at this point, they should have known how to pray. But prayer is, but the fact that they asked Jesus, you know, "teach us to pray," I think that shows that prayer is a learning process. It's something to experiment with. It's something to get better with. And that gives us hope, you know, or that gives me hope. You know, it might be awkward at first, you know, if you're a new believer, you know, just, you know, it might just be like really quiet. And sometimes it's hard to tell which voice is God, or maybe it's hard to even hear a voice. But it just takes faith, it takes trust, and it just takes patience. And I think prayer is actually, in a way, it can be really simple, and we just kind of make it really complicated. And the definition of prayer is just simply, prayer is communicating with God. It's communication with God, and we get to talk to God, and I think that's just awesome. And I hope we don't lose the wonder and the awe of that we get to talk to our Creator, and we get to know God. And kind of the whole like core and the purpose of the Christian faith is a relationship with God, to get to know Him. And praying to God is just it's just a huge privilege. It's something we get to do. And I wanted to read to you guys 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says this. It says, never stop praying. And as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So He guides us. He's always with us. He never leaves us. And you know, so we can always, you know, be praying in our head, and we can always be spiritually aware, and we can have to stay focused. And as many of you guys know, I'm really ADHD, so it's hard for me to stay focused. I get distracted easily. I'm usually thinking about Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or just something, or I see a squirrel, and I just, so yeah. So it's something I'm always going to struggle with. I just remember George gave a sermon about prayer, and I like what he said. He said, sometimes we hear a sermon about prayer, and we, you know, the next day we feel guilty, so we pray a bunch the next week, or we pray a bunch the next day, and then we kind of forget about it after that. And I, you know, if you guys are encouraged to pray, you know, that's awesome. But we need to be praying for the right reasons. You know, we pray to God because God loves us, and we love God, and we pray to God because God delights in us, and He cares about us. He cherishes you, and God enjoys spending time with you. He wants to spend time with you, and again, it's a relationship. So if the Holy Spirit convicts you to pray, you know, be encouraged, and be hopeful, and you know, it's an easy fix. You know, just schedule a time, just like 10 minutes before, or 10 minutes before you go to bed, I've even set alarms on my phone before, and with like little Bible verses, just to help me stay focused throughout the day. So don't pray just because you feel bad or out of guilt, but pray because God loves you and you love God. And I want to share with you guys a paragraph from a book I've read. This is the book is The Insanity of God, and it's by Nick Ripken, and it's a really, really good book. It talks about missionaries, and Nick Ripken, he was a missionary to Africa, and it talks about how God, you know, told them what to do, and there's some really, really awesome stories of miracles, and it's a really, really good book. I encourage you guys to read it. But this is Nick, and he's talking to a believer in Asia, and this is what Nick says. It says, As had already happened to me numerous times, I found myself so overwhelmed by the inspiring story that I was hearing that I simply zoned out and tried to absorb it all. After a time, I realized that my companion was still talking, and I had no idea what he was talking about. Okay, again, I'm ADHD. I can definitely relate to that. Can anyone else relate to that? So give me grace if... I promise I pay attention when you guys talk. I sometimes have that look like I'm not paying attention. But be gracious to me if I ever ask you guys to repeat yourself. So anyways, he goes on and he says, I apologized and confessed to my new friend that I hadn't been paying attention. He said, that's all right, Nick. I realized that, but I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the Lord to see where we were and what we should do today. I decided then and there that I wanted to know Jesus that way. I decided then and there that I wanted to walk with Jesus that way. So I think that's just so cool. Like the guy, or Nick realized the other guy was not paying attention, so he just starts talking out loud to Jesus. Like I just think that's awesome. And that reminds me of the 1 Thessalonians verse I shared earlier, never stop praying. And last week we talked about being connected to the vine. And I went over, it was John 15, it was the passage where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he says, remain in me, abide in me. And the point was to stay connected to Jesus so you can live and produce good fruit. Because when a branch is, you know, disconnected from the vine, it dies. Or if a branch falls off the trunk, it dies. And I also compare it to TV as well, where you have like the cord and the television and the outlets. And if you know, if the TV's unplugged, it's going to die. It's not going to work. And one of the best ways to stay connected to Jesus is to never stop praying. And the best way to abide and remain in Jesus is through prayer. So prayer, like I said earlier, just simply communicating with God. So that involves talking to God, but that also involves listening to God. And that's something that I can struggle with. And, you know, the Bible says we are God's children. And the thing about children, the thing about kids, is sometimes they struggle to listen. And believe it or not, it's also true with teenagers, I found out with my job. So I'm not going to name any names, don't worry. But no, we are all God's children, and when it comes to prayer, I struggle with the listening part. A lot of times, I'm just asking God for help, and that's because I need a lot of help. But I also need to remember to listen and to, you know, to not be selfish, and I need to remember to pray for others as well. And there are times in my life where I've gotten this right, and I have gotten the listening part right. I remember when I went to college, I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And the very first year, you know, my major was undecided, but my favorite subject in school was history. So I'm like, okay, I'll be a history teacher, because what else can you do with history, really? So, but there's maybe a few other things, but that's just what I thought. But anyways, so I was kind of iffy about the history teacher thing, so I kept praying to God, okay, what do you want me to do? What should I do with my life? And at first, I didn't get a response, okay? I want you guys to hear that. At first, I didn't really hear anything, but I kept praying over and over again, and you know, at the time, I was a little anxious about it, but then I heard the same response. And I heard it over and over and over again, okay? Like, I heard it, like, a ton. And the thing about Spencer is I'm a little slow. It took me a little time it took me a while to take the hint, but God repeated himself a bunch of times. And there's nothing wrong with, I'll say this, there's nothing wrong with, you know, double-checking, but at some point, you know, you're just, you know, disobeying. I double-checked like 100 times, but I got the same response 100 times, and then I changed my major, and I decided to go into youth ministry, and here I am today. So, and then something I started journaling, and I didn't really do this. I used to be really bad at this, but lately I've been a lot better, and I've been journaling my prayers, and I've been writing them down, and the more and again, at first, you know, this was really awkward at first. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. But again, just kind of experiment. You can learn. And it might be different for everyone. You know, everyone kind of hears God's voice, might hear God's voice a little differently. For me, it's like a feeling. And it's a, yeah, so the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. And a lot of times when I'm journaling, I'm just reminding myself of God's, you know, God's promises and what's true. And his word. And I have to tell you the story of when I bought my journal. I had another journal book, and I finished one journal book, actually, but I don't journal that much, but anyways, I finished one, so then I had another one, and I was going to start using that one. Well, I was in Walmart one day, and I saw a bunch of journals, and I felt, or I heard, you know, God telling me to buy a journal, and I'm thinking, well, God, I already have a journal, and you know, I kind of really felt God, you know, telling me to buy the journal on the shelf there. I was like, well, it doesn't make any sense. I already have one, and this one's not hardcover. And at first, you know, I didn't like it. I was like, no, I already have one. I don't need it. And so just like it made no sense for him to to get it. But anyways, I ended up buying it. So I was like, okay, just in case, I'll buy it. And I started using it, and I realized that there were Bible verses at the very bottom of the journal. And I got to tell you, those Bible verses just really have really helped me. Like, a lot of times I'm writing in my journal, and then I look down at the Bible verse, and it applies to what I'm writing. And it's happened just numerous times. And it was just really, really awesome, because, you know, that was God telling me to buy that journal. And kind of the point is if we... I mean, this sounds like a little thing, but it was actually a really big deal. But the point is, if you can follow God with these little things, it will help us follow him with the bigger things. Like if God tells you to, you know, to move to a city, or, you know, change your career, or, hey, go talk to this person about Jesus, you know, stuff like that. If we can follow him with the little things, it will help give us faith and the boldness to do the bigger things and follow him. So, I'm gonna give you guys five things. I'm gonna give you guys that five things that prayer is not, and then I'm gonna give you five things that we should have when we pray. So five things prayer is not, and this isn't some magical list, by the way. You can definitely add more to this list. This is just five things that kind of stood out to me. But number one is that prayer is not a magic genie. It's not a magic lamp. So it's not all about you and what you want. And I'm going to read James 4, 2 through 3. It says this, and I know you guys know this already, but this is James 4, 2 through 3. It says this. No, it's James 4, 2 through 3. Oh, my goodness. Okay. James 4, 2 through 3. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So, and that one can be kind of convicting for me. And then number two is that prayer is not a fire extinguisher. And what I mean by that is that prayer is not a last resort, okay? If the house is on fire, you should pray. So don't misunderstand me. But the point is that prayer should not be our last resort, but our first choice. We should pray when things are good. And I'm going to be honest with you. If the house is on fire, we're in big trouble because Spencer has no idea how to use a fire extinguisher. And it will probably take me like 5 or 10 minutes to figure it out. So then by that time, the house will be burned down. So that would not be a good thing. But so prayer is not should be a first choice, not a last resort. So pray when things are good, not just when things are bad. And number three, prayer is not a speech. And by speech, I mean it's where you're the only one talking. And again, I said this earlier, but we need to remember to listen. And it's a conversation. It's communicating with God. And then number four, prayer is not a deal. And you can also say a bending machine. You know, I'll do this for you, God, if you do this for me. You know, you're kind of making a deal. And with a bending machine, you know, you put something in the bending machine, you put money in the bending machine to get something out. So prayer is not a bending machine. It's a relationship, and we just have to remember to love the gift giver more than the gifts. So prayer is not a deal. And number five, prayer is not a chore. It's a privilege. It's something awesome we can do. And if prayer feels like a chore, I just encourage you to try to rest with God and, just do something relaxing with God. Maybe listening to your favorite Christian song and just remembering how much God loves and cares about you. But prayer is not a chore. And there's more I could list, but those are just some of the five that stood out. So this isn't some magical list. You can definitely put more on there as well. And to close, I'm going to give you five things that we should also have in our prayer life. And again, there's way more. There's way more. These are just five, okay? But number one is that when we pray, we need to remember to pray with faith. And faith means trusting in God. This is more than just believing that God is real. Okay, that's part of it. But trusting in God's love, trusting in God's power, trusting in His promises, trusting God is who He says He is, and just trusting that God is so much, bigger and stronger than all of our problems and anything we face in life, and that God's love is just so much bigger that we can't even, comprehend it. And remember in Scripture where it talks about having faith as a mustard seed. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, even with that you can move mountains. So it's more important who our faith is. The thing that matters most is who our faith is in. That's the key point. And then number two is pray with compassion. Pray with love and kindness. And I actually remember George when I was a teenager in youth group. He would encourage us, he encouraged us to pray. And he talked about how you can pray for people at school in your head or maybe in your workplace as you walk by them. Or when you're driving in your car, you can pray for the cars that pass you or other people on the sidewalk. And because, the world, we live in a broken world and people need our prayers. And prayer, I got to tell you, prayer does something. It's not just empty words, The world kind of makes fun of us with sending thoughts and prayers. But prayer is real. It's powerful, and it does something. And sometimes it's not that we lack faith, but it's that we lack compassion. And I was greatly convicted of this a couple years ago when we went on the missions trip to Kansas City 2 years ago with the youth group. I remember at one point we went to a park and we were eating lunch. We were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I saw a fire truck go by in the distance, or we heard a fire truck go by, and I didn't think much of it. Just a fire truck. And then I had a seventh grade girl come up to me and said, "Spencer, can we pray for that fire truck and where they are going?" And it was just kind of like one of those moments where, I couldn't help but think of, all the time I've seen a cop car go by or an ambulance or a fire truck. And I just never have really thought about praying for them before. And it's just like, oh, whoa. And so it's just one of those moments where, I need to have compassion like Jesus. And that seventh grade girl, showed me like what the love of God looked like. So it was just a really kind of big wide opener for me. And so then we prayed for that fire truck, and that was just a really special moment for me. And then number three is that pray with power. And, expect God to move. And it's you plus God. So I hope you guys realize that in your life, since you have the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's you plus God. And we know that God's word says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. And Paul says, when I am weak, he says, I am strong. That's 2 Corinthians 12:10. So it doesn't say when I am weak, God is strong. It says when I am weak, I am strong. And that's the power of God inside you. He makes us strong. And I'm going to read you guys James 5:17. It says this, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but it says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly, no rain would fall, and none fell for 3 years. He then prayed again, and rain fell instantly, and then rained again. So Elijah was human just like we are, okay? These Bible characters, we tend to think of them as superheroes, but they were human just like we were, but they had God. They had the power of God. And so pray with power. And then number four is pray with thanksgiving. And this is a big one for Spencer, is I need to remember to be thankful for what I have and the good things in life. And we just need to remember to praise God and rejoice. And just remember that every good thing comes from God. And God wants you to rejoice in the good gifts he has given you. And there's way more you can add to this list. For example, we need to ask God to forgive our sins, and we need to repent as well. But these are just five things that came to my mind. And then the last one is pray with patience. And I'm not talking about patience in like a food line or in waiting for a commercial to end or in a traffic jam. And I gotta tell you, I could really use some prayer when I go to Freddy's and I have to wait in that drive-through. I think I could take a good nap before I get my food. I'm just really, when I'm hungry, I'm just really impatient. So you'll have to forgive me. But But when I say patience, that's actually not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about patience during hard times, during sad seasons, and during difficulties in life. And 1 Peter, it says, cast your cares on God, for he cares for you. And there are times in my life where it's been really difficult to pray, and it might feel like our prayers are hitting the ceiling, or God's not hearing us, or why would things happen like this, or what is God doing? And it can be really, really difficult and really, really hard. But I just want you to know that no matter what we're going through, we know that God hurts with us, that he's suffering with us, and that if we're crying, God is crying with us. And just to fall on the Lord and fall on Jesus, let him carry you and let him care for you. Because God knows what you're going through, and he loves you. And I could do a whole sermon just on that right there. There's a lot there, but we just It can be really, really difficult to trust God in hard times. So we need to remember to be patient and just remember and rely on God's love and rely on the love of others, because we have a church who cares for each other and we can comfort each other. And I'll close with this. This is one of my favorite songs. I'm sure you heard it. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I'm going to say the chorus. I won't sing the chorus. I'm a terrible singer. So that would be awful. So I'll leave that to Jill. But this is you guys all know the song. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, just thank you so much for our church. I just pray that, God, you will always be with us and you will always love us. You are faithful and loyal and you are a good God. And I just pray that you help us do your will. I just pray that you comfort anyone who, if anyone is going through a hard time, you overwhelm them with your comfort and your peace and your love. Help us to love others and comfort others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And now for the benediction. It says this. This is Numbers 6, 24 through 27. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. You guys are dismissed.